If you know a Wisconsin realtor, forgive them if they're whistling, "Happy days are here again." The WRA reported that sales of existing homes soared 16.9% in July of this year compared to July of last year, and median July sales prices were up 3.8% over the same month last year. Also, January through July sales statewide were also strong. The median sales prices for those homes was up 6.8% to $157,000. To explain all that good news, thanks to David Stark, President Stark Company Realtors. He's also a former chairman of the Wisconsin Realtors Association Board. Dave, welcome to Wisconsin.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about a statewide picture.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I know that 1 month sales can be fluctuate a great
right.
deal. So let's look at January through July home sales,
mm-hmm.
and I think we have a graphic here showing the good news. Statewide median sales price up 6.8%.
Yeah.
Going from 147,000 8 months of last year to 157.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that work into that, but this year, I think for the first time since the recession started back in 2007, 2008, the economy generally, the macro economy nationwide and in Wisconsin, feels like it's really on a sound foundation. A lot of that fear that was driving people from the 2007 through 2011 period
mm-hmm.
finally dissipated. Even in 12, 13, and to a lesser degree, 14, people were operating sort of in a pent-up demand or a reaction to the recession. Now we've got enough room where we've gone far enough by, and people, that fear of housing is gone. Plus, we have very low inventories, and new construction, certainly in Dane County, and I know in other parts of the state, has yet to really kick in a meaningful way. So you've got lean inventories, demand is growing, people are confident again, they're not hearing the bad, scary jobs numbers, rates are low, you've got sort of this Goldilocks situation, and what it all adds up to is a lot of demand for housing, and people sometimes have trouble finding it. They often have to make offers on 3, 4, and 5 houses before they get the one they want.
Thanks for saying that. I'm getting ready for the show. I found an interesting stat. The number of showings
mm-hmm.
is way down.
Right.
Is it down to like 4 or 5?
Yeah. It's way down. And we've been tracking that all year and kind of been scratching our heads on it too, saying like, gosh, we expect with the market as hot as it is, we should be showings going up. What's happening is two things on both sides that come out to the same thing. Buyers are looking at fewer houses. When they see one they want, they pounce. And each listing requires fewer showings in order to sell it. Oftentimes, a few people come through, and the first day there'll be offers on it, and it'll be gone. So we're just seeing more offers per showing is really what's happening.
One thing that intrigues me, a personal example, my son and daughter-in-law just moved up because they had a fourth child,
mm-hmm.
and they got a cash offer. Are we seeing more cash offers?
A few. What some people are doing is they are pre-financing because they just don't want to go through the hassles of trying to get a loan today. One of the myths, of course, is that money's not available. Money's available. It's just the process you have to go through to get it is, it's like giving up your firstborn. So some people are coming in with cash if they have it. It's a more conservative way to go. Certainly makes your offer much, much stronger if you don't have to put the seller through the waiting period to try to find out whether or not you're going to get that loan or not. But there were a lot of cash sales, a lot of cash sales coming out of the recession. We had a lot of investors coming in, a lot of large money people buying up undervalued properties in the hopes of renting them out and ultimately making money. Now we're starting to see a little bit more of a swing back to more conventional financing terms, but that area continues to really be in flux. There's a lot of changes that have occurred and are going to still occur in the financing area. So that's one of the more challenging areas for home buyers.
Is the biggest factor that we're up so much January through July of this mm-hmm. year, last year, the pent-up demand, people have been saying for years, I don't feel good about putting my, as a hangover from the recession?
Yeah. Well, in 2013, that was definitely the case.
Okay.
You could really see that happening. You could feel it coming toward the end of 2012. It was like just the cork was just going to explode out of the bottle. It was really dramatic. There was a little bit of a fallback in 14. It's sort of like that pent-up demand was spent, and we sort of kind of lulled off a little bit. Now coming into 2015, it's just been strong all year, and it just keeps going. I think here in Dane County, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show, some of that is due, I think, to some of the microeconomic trends that are going on here in the Madison area. We have a very strong economy. We can talk about that later if you want to. But overall, I think that there's just a high level of consumer confidence now that's causing people to say, I'm not going to wait. Plus, here's another thing psychologically. Two things are at work. People are seeing these price increases, and so the psychology now is, I better buy before it gets more expensive. And they know that rates are a bargain,
yeah.
interest rates. And if they wait too much longer, those are likely to go up too. So there's a lot driving people to act now rather than later, and I think all those things are pushing it along.
So you're dealing, you're talking here about confidence.
Yes.
But what about the gyrations that we've seen in the stock market up and down? And I checked before we came in here, the stock market was down 295.
Yeah, about 300 earlier today.
Is there a disconnect with a personal decision that people make to buy or sell their homes
yeah.
and the wild gyrations mm-hmm. of Wall mm-hmm. Street?
When you go back, the 2008 is still very fresh in people's minds.
Yep.
It's interesting. And that was one of the questions we asked ourselves when a couple weeks ago all this started to happen with China and so forth. What's different is that if you go back to 2008, and it's sometimes hard to put yourself mentally back into that time, but when you go back to 2008, there was a persistent, huge drop that fed on itself over and over and over, and that was centered on much more fundamental economic things. You know, mm-hmm. the banking system was really in distress, mm-hmm. and so it was, and there was a real worry that things were going to come unraveled. This is very much more of a marginal. This is China. This is maybe a slightly overvalued stock market. There are some people who still look at it. We actually heard some sellers saying, "Oh gosh, you know, I'm pulling back. You know, my 401k is in danger." But I think the average person is really not that driven by it. Plus, you have a lot of younger people buying who don't have huge stock portfolios yet, so it's not as much of a driver for them.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, let's. You mentioned 2008, the recession, and you know I'm a bit of a wonk on these things, so
yes.
I looked up. The
so
department,
we'll speak the same language.
Great.
This yeah.
show will go 2 hours. you look up the Department of Revenue assessed values of mm-hmm. property statewide, mm-hmm. 2008, before the recession really hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at residential values. Mm-hmm. And all residential property in the state of Wisconsin was assessed. And that's an important term that
it
I
is.
Want you to
yeah,
talk
we'll
about
talk
later.
About that.
In 2008 at $370.9 billion.
Yep.
So then I went back, Department of Revenue just announced the 2014 assessed value of all mm-hmm. residential, 336, a drop of 9.1%.
Yes.
And there are a few counties that just, Kenosha was off 22%. Now again, we're looking from 2008 to 2014,
mm-hmm.
and that's an important. Kenosha off 22%, Polk mm-hmm. off 20.3%, Milwaukee off 19.9%, Pierce 18.5%. Do you think homeowners now understand that the assessed value of their home is not back to where it was pre-recession?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure they really do.
Okay.
People watch the assessment as a guide to value, and I think oftentimes put more value or put more emphasis on it or more weight to it than it really deserves as an actual guide to their value. In our experience, assessments can vary from the actual market values by as much as 10 or 20% either way over time. And it varies very much by local municipality. It varies a lot from house to house, neighborhood to neighborhood.
Yep.
Assessors, and we were talking about this before the break too, assessors are really reluctant to make huge jumps in assessed value unless they can really justify it across the entire universe that they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're very interested in relative equity. That's really what it's all about for them. So they often tend to be a little bit more conservative sometimes
okay.
in doing that. If you look at the actual median, the actual measured medians, I mean the ones that you've got in some of your graphics here that you were talking about, the 6.8%, most median prices in most parts of the state actually have exceeded their 2008 numbers, the
okay.
actual sale prices.
So is a little
the assessors
bit of,
just haven't caught up.
Is it a little bit of apples and oranges to compare these assessed values
yes.
from 2008 and 2014 to the home sale numbers
yes.
that
it is.
WRA
it
is looking at now?
Yeah, there maybe is different breeds of apples. I don't know. They're related, but they aren't in lockstep, and you can be misled. So
okay.
you have to be very careful when you look at assessments to try to really determine whether that's actual value.
Okay, I'm also intrigued by the WRA, as you're well aware, charts the home sales by regions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the area that you're most familiar with. Let's
yep.
look first at the South Central region.
Yep.
Median price, now again, we're looking at, let's mm-hmm. be sure, year to date, January 2015 through July of 2015, same comparable period.
Mm-hmm.
About
6.6% overall.
6.6% overall in the 12 counties in the South Central region.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your turn. Tell me what you see in these figures for Greene, Iowa, Lafayette, Dane, Jefferson,
yep.
and Rock. We pick these because obviously we're in Dane County.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what these numbers tell you.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, let's talk about what a median actually is, because I think it's important to understand that.
Yes, it is.
Median is where you take all the home sales that occur during a certain period. So in this case, it's presumably year-to-date this year versus year-to-date last year. So all the home sales there, you rank them from most expensive to least expensive. Mm-hmm. The one right in the middle is the median. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. So medians can sometimes be influenced a little bit by the mix of properties that make up the universe. So
if there's a lot of high ends,
it can push it up. If there's a lot of low ends. We saw medians drop during the 2009-10 period because of the first-time home buyer tax credit. It pushed sales to the lower end of the market, and we saw medians drop even though actual sale prices didn't really drop as much. So that can happen. That said, over large universes, medians can be a good proxy for home value changes.
Yep.
Here's what I see. You look at Dane has the smallest at 4.8%, but it has by far the largest universe. And Dane had by far the least drop in his prices during the recession. And it has the highest average sale price overall compared to the other parts of the region.
Right.
So a 4.8 to 5% increase in Dane County year over year is actually pretty big when you think about it.
Right.
When you look at places like Greed in Iowa, you have much cheaper housing. You have markets that were probably more impacted by the recession, so their values probably fell further. They're now finally, they've snapped back later. And so this year is the first year where we're seeing the recovery really extend out to those areas.
Okay.
And you're really, what you're kind of seeing is a recovery to the norm. One other thing that happens, and I forgot to mention this earlier, but it's important. A lot of those outlying areas saw more foreclosures.
Oh.
Foreclosures often sell at a discount, sometimes 10 to 20 to even 30% to actual fair market arm's length value. You know, they're just distressed and people bail out, banks let them go for a song. So foreclosures, a lot of bank-owned property can lower the what appears to be the, you see a lot of cheaper properties on the market and it pulls the median down.
Okay.
As those work their way out of the system and you get back to more normal market rates, you'll see what appears to be a big jump in the median price. What it really is that there's just fewer distressed properties in the mix, and this is more indicative now of probably where the fair market really
sits.
Can
we please talk about the epic factor on the city of Madison and Dane?
Yeah.
What have you seen? I mean, you're...
Oh, Epic has been a tremendous driver of economic growth here in Madison, and I'm not
for
sure...
For renters or for home buyers?
Well, directly at the first order for renters. A lot of people have commented on the apartment boom. We're still running at about a 2% vacancy rate here in Madison. It's just, there's almost nothing that you can rent. Big luxury apartment buildings are going up right and left, and they're full before they're done, and it just keeps going. Epic is driving that for sure. But what I don't think
you
people...
You make it sound like Epic is the Silicon Valley of...
Madison and Dane County are becoming known in the tech community as a potential budding Silicon Valley.
Okay.
I've heard that said by people who are knowledgeable in the matter.
With people who catch downtown buses to Epic and things like that?
Yeah, yeah. And people who invest in those things and people who consult for those things.
And rents just going up as a result?
Yeah, rents are going up for sure because vacancy rates are low. Which is also keeping housing affordable by comparison. But what's also happening at the second order is that, and this is what I think a lot of people don't understand or don't really appreciate yet, is the extent to which a lot of these Epic employees, after 3 to 5 to 10, 7 years at Epic, they decide to do something else. And so they go out and they start their own businesses, they start their own consultancies, they go to work for other businesses that are getting started.
Are they doing that here?
And they're doing it here.
In Dane County?
They're doing it here.
They're not going to the left or right coast.
They are not going to left or right coast. In fact, there are people that are starting to come here because they like it and they want to stay. And this is a big change from 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it was very difficult to keep a 20-something in Madison. Today, it's become kind of an attraction. And there's a lot of growth and vitality downtown that's being driven by that. And over the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see more and more of those people buying houses. And some of them already are. So, yes, it's definitely underlying. It's the Epic and the Epic spinoff factor.
Is there a bad side to that? Are middle-income earners getting priced out of the housing market in Dane?
Not yet.
Okay.
Madison and Dane County remain very much a big, fat middle market. That's just what we are. I think that's one of the reasons that some people think our housing, by some national standards, or by state standards, is on the expensive side. But that's also because there's so much activity in that $200,000 to $250,000 range. We don't have a ton of activity on the very high end. We don't have a ton of activity on the very low end. We're very clustered between $200,000 and $400,000. There's just a lot right there. And our affordability in relation to our median incomes is still very good in Dane County. So no, so far we haven't seen it be priced out at all.
Well, happy times in South Central region.
Yep.
Let's talk about Southeast region, which would encompass our urban areas.
Yes.
Kenosha, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Racine. Now, the average for these eight counties, they were up 9%. Tell me what you see in some of these double-digit increases.
I think there's two things going on here. I think with Milwaukee in particular, and I'm not an expert in the Milwaukee market, but I would be willing to bet, knowing what the foreclosure histories were in places like Milwaukee, I'd be willing to bet that that again reflects the fact that the number of foreclosures that are in the median is really reducing, that that distressed inventory is being flushed through the system. And so as a result, you're seeing the Milwaukee average price get up there where it can be. I mean, the data here from the Wisconsin Realtors Association shows it going from 226.5 up to 250. That's a big, or excuse me, 122 forward to 135 in Milwaukee.
Okay.
The other thing that's happening is, if you think about it, at 122 to 135, those are fairly low prices. So it's easier to have big percentage moves from a low base. You follow?
Yep.
Dane County, by comparison, our median price right now is up around 228, almost $100,000 higher than Milwaukee. So it's tougher to see big moves when you have a higher margin.
Also, going back to the graphic that showed the drop-off in assessed values, some of these counties in the Southeast region, sure, they're up 14.3%, but they're still off over the assessments, 22%. Yeah. Milwaukee, 19.9%. They're coming back 10.1. So they sank a lot further.
They sank further.
That's the reason.
So now you're snapping. They sank further. A lot of it was because it was foreclosure driven. Those foreclosures are running out, and so you're seeing the medians, the apparent medians, rise.
Are we seeing more of the Chicago creeping north to the Kenoshas?
You know, I'm sure there's some of that, but I don't think so. I don't think that's what's really driving it. And again, I'm not an expert in those markets, but I don't think that it's that so much as it is just a return to confidence and normalcy within the housing mix, more than it is that we're seeing people fleeing Illinois to come to Milwaukee. I'm sure there's some of that, but I don't know that I would look at that as the major driver.
Okay, next one. Central region, average of eight counties. They were up 7.3%, but look at this. Look at the continuum here.
Yeah.
Adams up 23, Clark 42, Juneau off 4.2. I'm getting whipsawed looking at that.
Help me understand. Let's take Clark.
Okay.
Clark was 70,000 in 2014 up to 100,000 in 2015. That's a $30,000 jump. I'm going to just bet my bottom dollar that once again that $70,000 was really influenced by a high percentage of foreclosures and distressed properties.
Okay.
100,000 is probably closer to what there really there is there. And again, you're seeing a return to confidence in those areas. We saw here Sauk, Columbia, and some of the areas right around Dane. When Dane was really rolling in 2013 and even 2014, some of those outlying counties were still lagging a little bit. They had been harder hit by foreclosures. Mm-hmm. Their median prices had fallen further. They were a lot more distressed property. This year now, we're really starting to see it seep into those areas for the first time, and I'm sure it's the same thing that's happening here.
Okay. Let's turn to the Northeast region. Now, I was reading a WRA press release that at least in the month of July 2015 to July 2014, Northeast region was the hottest. Now, our numbers our numbers here compare, again, that eight-month period in 2015 to 2014. So the Menominee, that's an aberration.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, but what about the rest of them? Door up, Kewaunee off.
Yeah.
What do you see here?
Here's what you can see. I'll go back to Menominee to show what the aberration is.
Yes.
There were 12 sales in Menominee County in 2014, 18 this year. So when you have that small of a sample size, the median becomes almost meaningless.
You can throw it out.
You can almost throw it out.
Yep.
And if you look at a lot of the other ones that had big moves, they had relatively smaller sample sizes. Now, if you look at Outagamie, which you don't have on your map,
I don't have
here,
it on this.
But it's on this one. They had went from 1,220 sales to roughly 1,400 sales. They only had a 6.7% increase, but much bigger universe.
Sure.
So I think the median is more indicative of a real price.
That's a pretty healthy growth in sales, isn't
it? That's a very healthy growth in sales. Yeah, Brown, where Green Bay is, same thing. They had a 12.5% increase in their sales, but they went from 1,734 to 1,951.
Okay.
Big universe, relatively small price increase. So the bigger the universe, generally the smaller the price increases you'll see.
Thank you.
I think we're measuring medians.
A couple more regions here. Let's look at the rest region. And this is the counties that border Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So influence of that?
Yes, without question, Minnesota is a real driver.
The health of the Twin Cities goes,
so goes the areas there. And let's find the, pardon me as I shuffle through my papers here.
It's okay.
Here we are. Here we are. Got it.
Yep.
So again, if you look at the biggest increase was in Eau Claire County in terms of the number of sales. Their sales were up 41%. 41%. Medians are up 8.2. The big ones tend to be relatively smaller. So, for example, Trempolo mm-hmm. went from 115 sales to 142, okay. 101 sales price to 143. So we're working with pretty small universes there.
Pretty small numbers.
And, yeah, in Jackson, which is way down, went from 109 sales to 122. So I think, you know, Jackson's a very rural county, very small.
Yep.
You don't have a real intense market there.
Okay, then finally, let's look at the North region.
Mm-hmm.
This is 18 counties. They were up an average of 6.1%.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of second homes, cottages
yes.
up there.
Mm-hmm.
The WRA is saying that we're seeing a rebound in single family homes.
Yes.
But what's the story on second family homes, cottages?
Yeah, second homes, I think are still not quite what they were 10 years ago. At least that's what I'm hearing from the folks up there. You know, if you ask them, they might give you maybe a little bit different story today. I know that there has been some improvement this year from what I've heard anecdotally. But overall, if you think back again, pre-recession, think back 2000 to 2005, real estate was hot. Everybody thought it could just go up forever. Buying in second home markets, which tended to be very expensive, mm-hmm. generally overvalued fundamentally in a lot of cases because they were kind of, you know, vanity projects for some people. A lot of big stuff going on there, and prices were moving up very quickly. And so there was kind of a mania that really went away when the recession hit. So now I think a lot of people are reluctant to have a lot more marginal money tied up in second homes. So the second home market has been a little bit slower to come back. I think it will come back eventually. I do. I think you can see it starting to come back this year, but yeah, it's still been a little bit slower.
Okay, I want to put you on the spot.
All right.
What's the best region to buy a home right now if you're just interested in return on investment?
My honest opinion, right here in Dane County, right here in South Central. And I'm not saying that because it's not a homer call. I think it gets back to what we were talking about with the tech boom that's really kind of the little mini economic boom that's occurring here in Madison. I think our economy here is so beautifully positioned for growth over the next 10 to 20 years that the main thing that underlies any healthy housing market
yep.
is the underlying economy in the micro market that you're dealing with.
But to buy into the Dane County, what's the average price?
It's about 228 right now.
228.
A little more expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. But I know where you're going with that. But, you know, you might, if you wanted to make a speculative bet, you could go up north, where prices tend to be lower,
yeah.
and you could buy a vacation home, enjoy it, live in it. 10 years from now, you might see that the demand is back and you start to get some outsized gains. For me, and this is just sort of my philosophy when it comes to real estate, I'm very much about fundamentals. A lot of what got us into trouble 10 years ago was a lot of momentum real estate buying. When real estate starts being sold that way,
mm-hmm.
you start to break from your fundamentals, and real estate is really not an asset that's designed to operate that way. Real estate's a long-term investment. It's a
yep.
long-term play. It's a get-rich-slow investment. And for me, if you know enough about a market and know you're buying low and you can sell high and you can study all that stuff, great. For me, I'm a buy-and-hold guy. Buy in a solid market, be there, let it work its way through. I think Dane County is going to be really strong.
You are an anti-flipper.
I'm an anti-flipper.
Are there fewer flippers now?
Fewer, but they're still out there. They're still out there. There'll always be flippers. And flippers are actually good. Flippers take care of underserved real estate, and they make it, you know, they bring it where it should be. So I'm not really anti-flipper. I just think that for the average home buyer, I think they shouldn't have the mentality of a flipper because that's not what they are. Their mentality should be, do I love to live there? Can I afford it?
Can I invest in this community?
I'm going to invest in this community. I'm going to raise kids here. And 10 years from now, my mortgage will be down. My value will be up. I'll have a nice nest egg of equity. It's going to be great.
You talked about the banking industry, the mm-hmm. lending industry cratering here, 2007, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. As a result of, what's it called, Dodd-Frank?
Dodd-Frank.
Does the average homeowner and home buyer in Wisconsin have mm-hmm. to come up with a lot more cash down payment?
No. No. People believe you do, but you really don't.
That's a misnomer?
No, it's kind of a misnomer. You, Conventional underwritten loans do require more down payment unless you have private mortgage insurance. But there are programs, FHA, VA, et cetera, and so forth, that are still operating with less down. So you can get in with lower down payment. There are programs available, yes. You don't necessarily have to save 20% of the down payment to get it done. You still have to have a good credit score. You're going to be underwritten very tightly, and the less you put down, the more tightly you're going to be underwritten, the more important the appraisal is going to be. So all those things figure into it, but the notion that you absolutely can't buy unless you have 20% of a $300,000 house saved up, that's really not right. You can get in for less.
So what's your advice to the homeowner watching this show?
Mm-hmm.
Should, if they think they want to expand or downsize, because we have families going both ways, mm-hmm. is this a good time to do that? Or
yeah.
the question you alluded to earlier, if I wait, it might get even better,
yeah.
sweeter.
Yeah. You know, are we going to assume this is an investor, or are we going to assume that this is just a home buyer? Somebody's going to live in it.
Home buyer, investor.
Home buyer. I think you should make that decision for lifestyle choices, not money choices. And here's the main reason. You're going to live somewhere.
Yeah.
And the longer you wait, you might get more for your house, and you'll pay more for the next one. So I'm not sure you're really getting anything. I'm not sure you're really getting anywhere. If you're in the home ownership game, then you're on whatever financial escalator you're on. And the advantage, if you're moving up, the advantage to moving up is now you're doing it on a larger scale, in theory. So I don't know that waiting necessarily solves anything for you. I think you should make the decision based on wanting to move on with your life. That's really what it's about.
All the demographic numbers on Wisconsin show that we are one of the older states,
mm-hmm.
which means baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
What's your advice to boomers?
Well, you know, it obviously depends on what you want to do. I'm seeing an awful lot of baby boomers that are selling their houses. They're moving to condos. There's a lot of people migrating that way now. It's a surprising number, in fact. I keep hearing about more and more every day, and I go, gosh, they're moving to a condo. That's really interesting. But, you know, it's a simplicity thing. You know, they're retiring. They don't want to take care of it. The house is too big. There's no, you know, the kids aren't there. So I think a lot of baby boomers are starting to look to downsize, and that's okay. There were some people that were worried that this was, you know, that the baby boomers kind of moving out of home ownership or downsizing was going to create a real estate bust. But, you know, back to the millennials,
yes,
they're starting to move into they're moving into the game, and they are, you know, they have the wherewithal to do it. So I'm really not that worried about that. I think that the market's going to remain very, very strong. I really do.
What does worry you about the future, looking out on home sales in Wisconsin?
You know, the one shoe that has yet to fall, and I'm not sure this worries me, but it's an unknown, is that we know that the Federal Reserve is going to start raising interest rates soon. And in fact, a lot of people think it's still going to be this month. When we write the next newsletter, we'll know. And that'll be really, I can't wait to find out what I'm going to write about that. Whenever the Fed starts, you know, we've been at 0% Fed rates for 6 years, seven
yes.
years, whatever.
Yes.
And people have gotten pretty used to that. So a lot of people think, well, gosh, when rates go to an equilibrium rate of, let's say, 5.5%, 6.5% for a 30-year rate, will anybody ever buy houses again?
Mm-hmm.
I think the answer to that question is yes. I don't think it'll cause any problems if we get there slowly.
I see.
So if I worry about anything, it's that the Fed makes a big move, which they've said they're not going to do. Or let's say that the reaction to the move they make is outsized and rates move farther than they should. I worry a little bit about that transition, but my bet is that the Fed's going to move very slowly. There might be a little bit of a reaction right away. So my advice to the people watching this show would be, when the Fed moves, if you see rates pop up 50 basis points, you know, 0.5%, 0.75%,
right.
just chill out. They'll probably fall back down again. That's what I think will happen. And then after that, now that the bubble's been popped, I think now the Fed can slowly move over the next 2 or 3 years. And yes, rates will go up. But I think the housing market will be able to handle it. And in fact, it needs to be able to handle it. We have to get back to that at some point.
Well, rates are now what?
Four, give or take.
For
a 30-year rate.
And
yeah.
you can buy that down depending on that?
A little bit, but if you
okay.
want, yeah, a little bit. But generally, let's say four.
Okay, we're almost out of time, so maybe mm-hmm. a final question. I'm intrigued by your newsletter. Your latest newsletter raised this question.
Yeah.
Should you sell first, not having a
yeah.
next home,
yeah.
or should you find a new home and hope you can sell?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you go back, again, you go back to the recession, we always keep going back to the recession, but if you go back to the recession, nobody wanted to buy before they sold, because the fear was, I won't be able to sell at all. I'll end up knowing two houses. Now the fear is the opposite. The fear is, I'll find something, you know, if I sell my house, it'll be gone in a day, and I won't be able to find something to buy, and I'm going to be homeless. So the fear is, you know, I'm not afraid of two houses, I'm afraid of having no houses. My advice always is, if you can, sell first. It okay. makes you a stronger buyer. You don't have to put in a contingency of house sale. You're in a much stronger position to act. You're a more motivated buyer. You've got your cash. Everything's easier. I just think it's an easier way to go. You might have to move twice, and I know people that have done it. But it also, you know, there's always things coming along, and you'll find something. So that's my advice.
You're bullish on Wisconsin's home sales market.
Very bullish. This has been a fun year. Finally,
you
a lot of fun.
Lead us in a version of Happy Days Are Here Again?
No, I'm not much of a singer. Okay. I don't think you want to hear that.
Thanks so much. David Stark is president of the Stark Company Realtors. Dave, thanks so much for giving us overview. And
my pleasure.
Congratulations on the rebound.
Well, great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.